Hello, everybody. Good to be with you. I have a lot to cover today. So for only the second time that I can remember in nearly 100 videos, I have a cheat sheet. And I have this cheat sheet not because I'm going to read from it, but because I have it's a bullet point thing, because I have several things that I really would like to cover. And what I discover is that I launch into one of these things and God, it just goes wherever it goes, you know? So, and today I have something particular to discuss with you, if it'll let me. So we'll find out what actually it does want to do. This same general message will be available as a text post on awakeningclaritynow.com under this by the same name. This will also be available as an audio, as a blog post, which you can do with either Podbean or iTunes, or you can go straight to awakeningclaritynow.com and find a link to it, listen to it there, download it there, listen to it in the car. Okay, so here we go. The name of this, the dream, the truth, the dream, and the teaching. And what I've been telling you lately that there are a couple of different levels to the teaching, meaning that there's the that this teaching covers the truth, and it covers also the dream. When I'm talking about the truth, what I'm talking about is the absolute truth, or as close as I feel like addressing that on that given day. I don't actually do any of this; it just sort of happens. But the reason I talk about that, depending on where I want to go, is that there really are different levels to awakening. And I know we hate to hear this because but it's just the truth. I don't mean like it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's absolutely not like that. What we're talking about really is that there are levels. First off, there really are levels to awakening, and I'll just go over those shortly. First off, for most people, or for an awful lot of people, the first step, and it was for me, the first big step in awakening, is when we are able to access the witness state. Now, I'm talking about what I call the personal witness. And I call it the personal witness because this is a witness that still seems to be identified with this body, and it seems to have almost like a place in space and time, which is sort of with Fred, but it's watching the Fred movie, and it knows it's not it, but it's still wrapped up with Fredness. So much so that I think that in that witness state, it might feel like if the Fred unit was going to die, that the witness would also die with it. I can't really recall that, but it would make sense to me if that's the way it felt. But it's very definitely a personal witness witnessing a personal dream. In other words, this is where, oh, I see, this whole thing is a dream, and it starts right here. And I'm not that. I'm not this unit. So that's a big step. I can remember prior to it's really the last step in duality. Because and I can remember when I could had learned to, let's just say, access it at will. And I thought that, and it was huge. And I couldn't believe it that I could do that. I could do that, and I could also and I could access, quote, again, I can't not access it, but consciously access the sense of being, and a lot was coming out of that. Both of these were actually the last stages in duality, although the witness state, I mean the only reason I say that about the sense of being is that there was still a Fred here connecting with the sense of being. You get that? So it's really this last step in duality. So for many people, our first awakening is awakening to what we're not. This may be in the initial awakening. That moment may also be accompanied by a sense of oneness or who, like this. But the big revelation that comes out of that, because that oneness thing will very quickly slide away in most cases. And what will remain is the sense, the very distinct, the certain knowledge of what I'm not. And I should stop right here and say that whatever portion of this awakening that I'm going to be describing, whatever portion of this that you have, it always feels like you've got the whole thing, no matter what you've got. And see, it feels like I now have the whole thing, like I didn't used to, but I do now. But the difference is I've learned not to trust that, and I know I don't have it all. So, and because no one has it all. There's no such thing as has it all. It just doesn't work like that. But certainly we can be a whole lot more awake and a whole lot more skillful than the next guy, so to speak. So, so this discovery of what we're not, in other words, this is the breaking through where it's seen that the witness is actually another thought. That and it's the last stage, breaking through. You can know that witness is another thought, but as long as you're witnessing, it ain't gonna feel like that, and which is fine. It doesn't need to feel like that. It needs to feel like you've got a personal witness, because that's where you are. And wherever you are on the path, as long as you're in this general area that we're speaking of here, you're fine. That's just where you are right now. That's coming along. It's coming along. If you're watching this video, if you're listening to this this tape, or you're reading this text by me, the odds are really strong that you're going to wake up. I can't tell you that you're gonna or that you're not. When I say that, of course, I'm already jumped off into the dream, because I've supposed that there's a you there that needs to wake up and might wake up, might not, and all that. That's dream talk, but we got to address the dream. So the next stage, we could say that sense that I am not Fred, I am the vastness, right? Instead of being the little man, we start out in relativity, and what we do is we take a big leap into the universal, which is now I see. I'm the universal consciousness, and I'm not that little guy, Fred Davis. And I notice that he still has problems. But the key is they're Fred's and not mine, and that can actually be a lot of help. I mean, this stage of awakening, I would say, saved my life in 2006, because my initial awakening was much wider and broader and deeper than that. But it contracted because I didn't have the sense of being meditation. I didn't have a teacher. I didn't have anything. I didn't know what I was doing. And I mean, hell, I was surprised to be awake. I was surprised to find out that awakeness really existed, and that's honest God's truth. And as a well-known teacher that I had a conversation one day, and we both confessed that by the time we woke up, we had pretty much reached the point where we didn't believe that there really was such a thing as enlightenment, and that we were all just playing games of fooling ourselves or whatever. And then shortly thereafter I woke up. So you can try that belief on and see if it'll help you wake up. I doubt it, but you're welcome to try it. So the next stage from seeing what we're not is the state of oneness. So we can apprehend these different states, and then within that apprehension we can comprehend them at different stages. Apprehend and comprehend are actually synonyms at thesaurus.com, I can tell you because I looked. But I don't mean them as synonyms, because to me they're not really. Apprehension is when you grab something, you're, I got it, but I'm not real sure what I got. And comprehension would be another word for that, would be clearing, is where I got it, oh, and I see what the hell it is too, right? Or, you know, I got some kind of idea, I've got some kind of context with it, some kind of structure, some kind of organization. Part of the reason I'm doing this is that the level of apprehension and comprehension, we can stand as much of this thing as we can stand at any given time, no more, no less. And that doesn't just go for you, that goes here too. So let's not pretend that this thing, if you've been watching me for the last 3 years, or a little better than that, or following me for the last 3 years, reading me, whatever, and let's not pretend that there hasn't been a continuous awakening here. There has been. In one of my books, John published, chose one of my very first posts for Awakening Clarity from several years ago. And much to my amazement, I couldn't understand why he chose it. I just figured it was like Bozo. And I looked at it, and unbelievably, it was as clear as an absolute bell. I mean, I was very pleasantly surprised. But the difference was that that was not a that there was no continuity of that state of clarity. I'd hit it, and then I wouldn't be so clear. And then I'd hit it, and I wouldn't be so clear. I didn't actually back all the way out where, oh, what happened? I lost it. But I just wouldn't be, I wasn't that clear on a continuous basis. I didn't, memory told me I wasn't that clear ever, because memory always thinks that what I know now is what is the real truth, and what I knew yesterday, that's kind of like what you know. It means nothing. He guy just loves to do that, doesn't he? So this teaching is an unfolding unto itself. It's not like I'm holding stuff back. You know, well, I mean, now I can be. Because it depends on who I'm talking to. But it's more like that, but most of this has simply just been a deeper, broader awakening here, because I am in session virtually every day, and that's my practice. And I don't know of a better practice for clearing than for clearing people up. And I don't know of a better practice for awakening, for staying awake, so to speak, than waking people up every day. And I don't do it every day, but I do it most days. And I am clearing somebody up every single day of my life. I will guarantee you that. There is no day off from this job, which is fine. It's kind of like a dog day off. What would I do anyway, right? So we looked at, see, this is the cheat sheet now. See, there we go. So we talked about the witness. We talked about the vastness, which is where we discover who we are not. And then there is that movement where I understand I am oneness. And this can come, this can be experienced different ways. It can just be a pop, like a, it's almost just like an acknowledgement. It's just an understanding. It's a level of acceptance. There's not a lot to it, except for that it changes your life. But it's just the understanding, oh shit, that oneness, right? That one, he means that one. He means this oneness. Oh, I didn't know he means this oneness. And I thought he was talking about some other oneness over there, the cool oneness. I know he's talking about this regular, everyday old oneness. So this, the other way that can commonly be expressed is that there can be a sense, like a physical sense of being joined to everything, and that's usually very, very blissful. If that happens this afternoon, I'll be grateful. So it's, and it does happen from time to time still, but not, you know, but it's just like sort of offhanded. It's not like I spend a morning like that or an afternoon like that. It's just, it's not like that. Once you, because see, once you, when you initially wake up, part of the, if you have that, is that, and certainly there's going to be some disorientation no matter how you wake up. Part of that disorientation is from the fact that you're just not used to being awake. And if you're awake and you stay awake longer, then this becomes the default position. So that the old position that I thought was so true and I was trying to work my way through, I can't even believe I was, you know, that I believed that stuff. It's like about a mile away. I can't even click the switch far enough to get back to remember how I used to think. I can remember enough to remind me that it's insane. And I certainly deal with it every day in awakening sessions and stuff. But I can't actually flip that switch all the way back anymore, which is a good thing. Doesn't mean it couldn't be flipped for me. This unit could just, boom, go unconscious tomorrow. All it's got to do is start believing stuff. The one of the things, and I'll tell you this because this story is a similar story is available to you. Probably the story that I most have to look out for is the story of Fred the Spiritual Teacher. Because Fred the Spiritual Teacher is a pretty special guy. And the moment that this thing starts to think that it is special, it becomes useless to you. And that's the truth. Because the only reason that this unit is of any value at all as a spiritual tool as a medium of clarity is because, unbelievably, somehow there has been the decision made or the willingness for this unit to live as an ordinary guy, just ordinary. And that's the more ordinary you are, then the more clarity that can come through. And you start thinking you're special, you're in the drain, you're worthless. Because the equality is the rule here. I mean, absolute equality. So there is another level, which I'm not going to go into. I'll tell you why. Yesterday I had but I'm going to touch on. And that would be, what's another identity of yours, which is prior to oneness or prior to manifestation. And I'm not really going to go into that. I'm just going to acknowledge the fact that it's there. But yesterday I had a meeting with somebody who's doing really well in this teaching. She told me that she had been reading, I think it's the Book of Unknowing. No, it's the Book of Unveiling, I think it was. And then there were two posts in there, one about Thanksgiving and one about, and one that's kind of a poem thing, that she said, that just got me. I mean, I didn't understand what was going on. I just felt like I was reading a different book or something. And in essence, you were, because they were, apparently, I don't remember the Thanksgiving post, but she brought it up, and the way that she described it, it sounded to me like what I was doing was that I was talking from the absolute, neither the relative nor the universal, but the absolute. And, or at least I was referring to that. And I know that the poem thing was written from as close as a unit can get to the absolute. So it's, but it kind of confused her because she's not ready for that just yet, which is fine. You know, she may never be, to be ready for it. I mean, let's get under the stand. Let's go back to this idea that wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. There is, when we look at, when we look at children, like we look at a little two-year-old child or something, and there's two ways to look at that. God Almighty, look how smart he is or she is. You know, it can walk. It's starting to talk. I don't even know what kids do it to, but I'm just guessing. I know that stuff comes in somewhere. So it's starting to walk. It's starting to talk or whatever it is. And it's a really bright little unit. And the other way is to look at the very same unit and say, God Almighty, what a worthless baby. It can't even do simple math. I mean, what is with this, right? The baby is perfect at every stage. All the way through to death, it's perfect at every stage. The same thing with your level of spiritual awakening, is that it's perfect at every stage. I can tell you, as I said before, I know I ain't got it all, but I don't miss not having it all because it feels to me like I got it all. I actually can't imagine being clearer than this. If I could imagine being clearer than this, I'd be clearer. And I know a guy or two who is. Certainly one. And I'm sure there are many, many, many more than that. I'm just talking about my personal experience. So these four levels, whether we're at the witness, the vastness, the oneness, or that which is prior to manifestation, that will very, very much color what's heard. This is one of the reasons for contradiction, is that I can't shotgun something out that works perfectly on all four levels. I just can't. So what it amounts to is I may be in addressing one level more or the other, and I'm most often addressing oneness because if you're not there, that's where I'm trying to pull you. You're in the witness, I want to get you to the vastness and beyond. If you're in the vastness, I surely want to get you out of that because that's an easy place to get stuck. Most people in non-duality get stuck in the vastness identity. So let me say that again. Most people in non-duality get stuck in the vastness identity. A lot of teachers will get stuck in the vastness identity. It will feel to them like they got the whole thing because that's as far as because that's the way it is, because it always feels like that. But the fact is that it ain't the whole thing. So, but we need them to, and we need them to be teaching just like they are because we got them. So they're there. It's not like they're a mistake or anything. Everybody, once again, that teacher's exactly right at every stage, because he's right there, he or she is there to help somebody that's one step below them, perhaps. See, there's always somebody you can help. So don't wait until you're fully blown and enlightened to help anybody, because that day ain't never coming. I can remember when a spiritual teacher asked me, a well-known one, asked me several years ago, so why is it that you want to teach? And I said, because I want to be involved. And I said, I want to be involved, and I'm going to teach from wherever I am. And that shut his ass up. How do you argue with that? So I didn't say I'm at your level and I want to teach you or the people you're teaching. And I said, I am where I am. And that's the case all the way through. I am where I am. And wherever I am is just fine. And the same thing goes for you. So this, I can't shotgun to where I'm shooting all four levels. So when you're misunderstanding something, you can almost go to the bank that there's been a misinterpretation or a misspeaking. I mean, it's not like I'm perfect. I might say the wrong thing, God Almighty. You know, but there's been either some misspeaking, but I would say that very frequently it will be a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding, when we go back to it, it will be because of the different levels. Because I'm trying to speak to somebody in one particular level, and three other levels are hearing it, or at least two are. They're not really this, that before manifestation thing. That's kind of a rare bird, and it's unnecessary. I don't even try to pull you there. The only reason I bring that up in my teaching is if somebody else appears to be approaching it, or if somebody is quite awake, but they're still having some body identification issues. When, you know, because they're like, I just can't quite feel like I'm the oneness. I still feel like I'm this body. And boy, once you get to talking to them about the fact that you ain't oneness either, well then, you know, because that's, you are oneness on one level, that's true. And on one level, it's not so true. This is the paradox of non-duality. Don't blame me. And so, when we talk about the truth, because that's the name of this, what? The truth, the dream, and the teaching. We've been talking about the dream. Because all of these levels of awakening, that's all in the dream. Okay? Because it's only you. You're already awake. You're already clear. Everything's fine. But that's not your experience. So we're talking about the level of experience. So when I'm talking about the dream, we don't want to blow that off, because the dream is our level of day-to-day experience. For instance, I know I am oneness. I speak from oneness from time to time, and I know exactly who I am. It's never forgotten, unless it is, if I get pulled into something. But I don't even know where I was now. So I'm going to start on something else. That's what I'm going to do. I ain't cutting this video off. I've already got 23 minutes in. And the rest of it's good stuff. Oh, we were talking about the dream and the truth. Okay. So all of these stages of awakening, really that's dream descriptions. Okay? Because it's really beyond any... The radical non-duality is beyond, we can't talk about it, because what you really are is prior to language. That's what you really are. What you really are is prior to language, and it can't be spoken about. So that keeps the teaching about the truth pretty minimal. But we do speak of it anyway, in the same way that Lao Tzu gave us the answer in the first two lines of the Tao Te Ching, and then he wrote 81 more chapters. You know, and the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. And then he just went right on ahead. Right? So, and that's what we do, because we got to try. Why do we got to try? Because we can't not try. That's the ultimate truth. That's the reason I'm here with you today. It's the reason you're with me. It's because we can't not be here. What are the odds that we met up? 100%. What are the odds that you did everything that you did today? 100%. Even this, you know, the what appears to be divine coincidence, if you will. That's 100%. It just looks kaflooey. So the truth is radical non-duality. There's not even that. We can't even say there's one thing going on. Remember that in Advaita, they talk about it being not two. In Zen as well, they talk about that your true identity being not two. What that means is that you ain't one either. And they're knocking on the border of that radical non-duality, that ultimate truth that we just can't really discuss. But they, just like me, they just want you to know that that's there, because it keeps us, for one thing, it keeps us from getting quite so arrogant and quite so settled into, oh yeah, I got this now. Because that's where I was. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Even within my teaching, even though I knew that I didn't have it all, there was still, I said, it was like, oh, I get all this. I mean, and I really, and there was another level there that I didn't know anything about until I did. And so, because no one told me about it. The one spiritual teacher that I approached about it told me it didn't exist. I don't talk to him anymore. Matter of fact, I believe that's the last time I talked to him. Any rate, the last time I called him for help, I guarantee you that. So, let's talk about the dream. Once you figure out that this thing is a dream, then, and the dream, by the way, is the most interesting part of the teaching. I mean, the other stuff's fantastic, but it doesn't really do you much good until you experience it yourself. And quite frankly, if you never experience that which is prior to manifestation, you're not missing out on a lot. That's the truth. I mean, you are, in the sense that I'm very glad that I'm aware of it and that I've gotten this whatever, you know, that I, you know, as if Fred has something. But I mean, with that, I'm very pleased that I oneness, as I function through Fredness, I'm delighted to have that knowledge. Why? Because I don't know. I'm delighted to have it. I mean, because it's available, I guess. But it's not, it doesn't benefit the unit. So that'll knock a lot of you out right there. If it doesn't benefit the unit, then who cares? And, you know, the funny thing is, and I have people write me who have a certain seeing, and they want to, why do you teach? Number one, because I can't not. And number two is that I don't want to be a part of any philosophy that dismisses my experience. I don't want to be a part of any philosophy that dismisses it, tosses it, just tries to transcend it, go around it, above it, whatever. You know, what I'm interested in, like Buddha gave us the means to transcend our suffering. Jesus gave us the means to embrace our suffering. And I am offering you the ability to just sit with your suffering and notice it's not yours. See, because that really changes things once you notice it's not yours. So this dream, once you realize that this is a dream, folks, it's a dream, it's smoke and mirrors. And it feels like, can feel like this, the dream that starts right here and goes, comes right out of my eyes right here, and it goes forward, you know? But that's not really true. The dream is surrounding this unit. This unit is actually just another object in the dream. So I can hear Jack barking down there, and I think that he is dreaming that there's a UPS guy at the door. I don't know what he's dreaming, but he's certainly excited about it. So once you figure out that it is all a dream, you realize there are no rules here. There are no rules here. So when you hear people say, oh, it happens like this and this and this and this, bull. It happens as it happens. Your awakening will happen as it happens. Your unfolding, your clearing will happen as it does. I can't tell you how that's going to work. I don't know. You know, I don't even know how mine's going to work, in other words, from here on out. And I'm not really sure how it got to where it is now. I know it has, and I'm grateful for that. And that's the thing is that once you realize how big a part grace plays in this thing, then gratitude just becomes the hallmark of your life. So, Jack, hush! So, not that I have any notion that Jack shouldn't be barking, but I don't want him to throw me. Okay, so when we are talking about the dream, I get these kinds of questions a lot. I get a lot of email on manifestation, You know, can't like the secret and all this. Can we, you know, can we manifest in this and that and the other? I have no opinion on whether any of that works or not. I will not offer my opinion. The same thing, and with goals, have at it. They're dream goals. And there's nothing wrong with them. And there's nothing wrong if you want to manifest. Have at it. And if it works for you, God bless. Okay, I don't care. Other than to tell you that the goals and the manifestation will always bring you back to identification with the unit. Because notice that I've got the free will to try to manifest. I have got the free will to set these goals and strive toward them. And there is free will in relativity. There's certainly the sense that I'm picking this up, showing it to you, by means of free will from the universal view. I know that that's a crock. But from the absolute view, from the true view, which is to hold both at the same time, I see that there is and there isn't free will. Depends on where you're speaking from. This would be those sort of like those four levels we talked about, but not quite. This is two. Is it the relativity? Is it so the three here, there's the relative, there's the universal, and then there's the whole truth, the whole thing, which we could call an absolute view, but that wouldn't be quite accurate. So we'll save that view. We'll reserve that. We'll just call this the whole view. This is where the true non-dual view is, of course, when you're balancing both views at once. In other words, I see that there is free will in the dream, but that there's no free will outside of it. So what that means is that my dream character needs to do his very best, because his experience in the dream is going to, to a large measure, be dependent upon that. That's the way of it. It's, as seen from the universal view, that is impossible. There is no room for free will. It is all built in. It's already in the can, da-da-da-da-da-da. But from the relative view, notice that that's junk. And what happens is we have one view or the other, and we hope, we try to migrate to the information gained on one view over to the other level. And you can't. They're different views. So there is the relative view is who he is as seen from the universal. The universal view is who he is seen from the relative. Neither one is who he. Neither one is to be dismissed. Now, which one is more true? Then I would tend to go with the universal. That the universal is a little more true, but it doesn't make any difference. Because we're not going to do anything that's going to dismiss our experience. Everything that we do in this life counts. Every single thing that I do in my relative life counts. From how I hold this pen, to how I speak to you, to how I run my life, how I treat Betsy, all of that stuff. Great. It is absolutely critical. It counts. But none of it matters. Ultimately, none of it matters. The benefit of that none of it matters is not so that I can just throw in the towel and go to living from a fatalist point of view and everything. That is not skillful at all. The benefit is that it keeps me from stressing here. It keeps me from suffering here. At least so much, right? Is there any suffering here at all? Sure. Sure there is. I'm not on some kind of a cloud. I'm on the same road you're on. But there's not much suffering here, and it doesn't last very long. And it doesn't get, most of it doesn't go very deep. There can be exceptions to that, but they are few and far between. And I'm talking about, for big suffering, it may be months in between. And actually maybe years. So, where are we? I've got to love this cheat sheet. So we've talked about our goals. We've talked about free will. We've talked about manifestation. Manifestation, I used to do manifestation way back when. Way 20 years, 30 years before there was ever a book called The Secret. There were other books available then. There was Think and Grow Rich. There was, what was it? The Magic of Believing. There was a whole, you know, the PMA, the Positive Mental Attitude guys, and all this stuff. I was into all of that stuff, and and you work real hard every day, but you're doing your metaphysical thing too. And I can't tell you that none of that stuff worked. But what I'm telling you is that it worked in the dream for a dream character and for a dream character's goals and dreams and wishes and desires. And if that's where you're at, great. But probably at some point here, we are going to part company because I ain't moving. Because I'm here to tell you the truth, even when you don't like it. My audience would be 9 times the size that it is if I would just be willing to say, yeah, come on, let's do a little manifesting, right? Let's put this into getting a better job or getting the girl of our dreams or all the money that we can stand. But I can't do that because that doesn't lead to the truth. It may lead to a very high quality of suffering within the dream and an enviable amount of suffering in the dream, in the sense that there becomes so much attachment to all this, you know, grandeur and luxury. There's a place for that. You know, actually in India they have yogis and they have bogies. And the yogis, we know who they are, and the bogies are the people that are on the same path we're on, but they're at the stage where they're going through and finding out that the relative world will not satisfy. So I've been a bogey most of my life. And I've been a yogi a little while, you know, a few years. And I was a bogey trying to be a yogi for a long time. But it just comes when it comes. So I don't have any problem with any of that stuff. You know, we want to have goals, have them, but don't think that they have anything to do with spirituality. Don't think they have anything to do with what I'm talking about. That's I've discussed in another video, I think it was, or maybe it was a talk, but whatever it was, that there's a difference between goals and intentions. Intentions can be a very good thing. I would advise you to get a highest intention if you don't have one. That will really help you in making decisions in your life, in your relative life. You could just, you know, am I supposed to go this way or supposed to go that way? Well, how does it line up with my highest intention? What's my highest intention? To be awake right now. That means anything else will be sacrificed if it comes in between me and being awake right now. That's the truth. Everything else has to be secondary because I'm of no good to you or anybody else if I'm not awake. The apex of my career as an unawake being was living at a park as a drunk. I mean, that's what my thinking had gotten me to. So I wasn't awake for the first few years I got sober, but I was moving toward awakeness. I certainly was. I was in line. I didn't know I was really in line. I hoped I was in line, but it turned out I was in line, which is great. So the other thing about the dream is that when we look at this, because I also get questions, I get questions or I get comments or whatever, that address things, this thing called the afterlife. Now, what I want to tell you is there ain't no afterlife. What I mean is there may be something after death, but there's nothing after life because there is no opposite to life. There's only life. There, birth and death we could consider to be opposing poles. But there's just life and everything, and that's what I'm telling you, that's the radical non-dualities. There's just life. And so when we talk about, when somebody says, you know, I talked to my grandmama, or, you know, I got a medium, I did this, that's great. I have no quarrel with any of that. It's all in the dream. It's all dream. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with radical non-duality. But I have no quarrel with it. I have no complaint with it. I don't understand it. The very same thing with cities is the ability to, you know, to precognize things or see the future prior to when it happens, or to be able to read minds or stuff like this. And I've run across people who swear they can, and that's fine. I have no difficulty with that. Again, it's in the dream. I will tell you that I had one student who was city crazy, and what I saw was that here was somebody who got so involved with it that he didn't know who he was on a day-to-day basis. That's the truth. Nor was he going to, and I've seen this more than once, because what happens is there becomes the unwillingness to give up that specialness. See, this is only good if it's ordinary. And man, if I can walk on water, what's ordinary about that, right? I must be a god. I must be like Jesus, probably. But me and Jesus, roommates, right? Or if I can, whatever it is that I can do. There are stories of Ramana creating, you know, or having, doing miracles, however you say that. Fine. That means that the Ramana dream character was performing miracles within the dream. Because the radical in radical non-duality, there's no Ramana either. There's not. Because it's just one thing going on. But within the dream, we see that there is a dream character named Ramana who was incredibly skillful and was as awake as it gets, and that what he was speaking was coming from beyond the dream, but it was a dream character that was talking to dream characters on different levels. And he knew it. And he spoke different things to different people at different times because he's talking about the different levels. Where are you? In the witness, or are you at the oneness stage? Whatever. Because whatever he can tell you, there's no point. Because if he goes with assuming that you have full comprehension, then what he tells you is going to be gibberish. And then you may go off thinking, oh, Ramana's a damn fool, and turn away from the wisest guy on the planet. I am not saying I'm the wisest guy on the planet by any means. I'm saying Ramana at that time very well may have been. And during his lifetime, the part of it, Nisargadatta Maharaj was around. And he's my closest teacher. And he was certainly just incredible, but he was a dream character too. And I have two photos over here of Nisargadatta, and I burned incense, sort of, to Nisargadatta this morning. I mean, there's an incense burner up there. And I know that Nisargadatta ain't gone anywhere because he wasn't here to begin with. So it's just a ritual thing. It's just me talking to me. That's what all it is. But I don't mind, because I don't mind mixing the dream. It's the same reason I have a video called Prayer and Non-Duality, and I think it's been watched about 11 times. That's not true. It's been watched a very few hundred times. Nobody reads it because it appears to be something. Well, nobody watches it because it appears to be just so much hooey. But what I'm telling you is it's not hooey. It appears to be hooey. It does not work with radical non-duality, with this oneness. But that's not always my experience. Sometimes my experience can be is that I know I'm the oneness, but I feel like this confused, upset little man. And if that's the case, I got no problem praying whatsoever. Because I pray to the clearer part of me. And I understand that all of this is dual. But it's very skillful duality. Very skillful duality. There's nothing wrong with it. Just like the witness state, that's duality, but it's a very skillful duality. And if you're there, congratulations. It's a big deal, but don't stop. So one of the things I'm trying to do is to offer a sort of comprehensive picture, because this teaching is growing, and I'm finding out that, you know, that there's a lot of people out there that are doing these, that are working with me daily, and I'm there with you. But they're carrying out, they're practicing this teaching, they're living this teaching. And as I didn't know all this was coming about, I'm just a guy, you know, just one of you that woke up. And so I had no notion whatsoever that there would ever be any kind of comprehensive teaching that would emerge from this. But it looks to me like there sort of is one coming out. That's what this cheat sheet's about, isn't it? Is the fact that I can go down with bullet points, which I never dreamed I could do. That's not inherently good, and it's not inherently bad. It just is what it is. So, but because of that context that I'm offering, I want it to be something that you can follow, something that's useful to you, not something that's confusing. And most non-dual stuff that deals with the levels and everything, it's confusing. And sometimes I'm going to be a sloppy teacher, and I'm going to confuse them too. I mean, I'm going to confuse you, and I'm going to move up and down the levels too fast and not state some or whatever. It's par for the course. It's just part of being here. But as much as I can, I'm going to be as clear as I can, as often as I can. And that's about all I can do today. It's been great. Thank you so much. Bye.